This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A new mandate to push out gas-powered cars. Wow, how soon do they have to get off the road? And then the big deal, the Justice Department is going to unseal the redacted affidavit used in the Trump search. I'm not surprised. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, just another spin around the news that makes you shake your head and is all part of the virtual water cooler stuff we chat about here on this show. So let's talk about redaction. Redaction is, of course, where you're taking pieces, paragraphs, words, etc., out of sensitive documents. Black marks all over it. You can imagine what the documents are going to look like. But they're going to be unsealed by noon on Friday. In its most complete form, it would disclose all the details about the government's justification for searching Mar-a-Lago, which is the president's crib, earlier this month, where he lives in Palm Beach. So the federal judge ordered that, yes, the redacted version used to obtain the warrant for the former president's home will be unsealed. It will be unsealed. The decision was by Judge Bruce Reinhardt. It came just hours after the Justice Department submitted its proposal for extensive redactions to the document. They say in an effort to shield witnesses from intimidation or retribution if it's made public. So it looks like he's accepting the requested cuts and going to have them done. And is looking at put the redactions in and then it's going to be released. So what will we see in this affidavit? What will be in there that could be revealed? What are the details about the government's justification for taking that big, huge, extraordinary step of the shakedown on August 8th? The ruling is significant in legal terms. In an investigation that has swiftly emerged as maybe an obstacle to the former president who wants to run in 2024. And what about the attorney general, Merrick Garland? Was there justification? Because he said he had to balance, and he does, he has to balance protecting the process by keeping secret details of the investigation and providing enough information to defend the reason why he requested the search. Show us the reason why you did. And the former president said the same thing. Release it. So the judge made that decision. He pretty much knew it was going to go this way because last week it was all about, well, the Justice Department has until next Thursday to submit all the redactions. And so I think it was just open and shut that that's what was going to happen here. You know, so under typical circumstances, disclosing even a partial version of an affidavit would be very unusual, my friends. Documents like that include evidence gathered to justify the search, information provided by witnesses, so those names of people, are almost never unsealed before the government files criminal charges. So there's no indication, though, that the Justice Department is going to do that. This is very, very, let me say it again, very significant. It's significant. And what will happen with these redactions? What will it make sense in looking at the documents as to why there was this FBI surge in the way they got to Mar-a-Lago, the armed, etc., right? And I think where this leads and what do the breadcrumbs show us will be very telling. Now, the former president's legal team, Donald Trump's legal team, they haven't seen the affidavit. The government isn't required to show it to him, but they have not opposed efforts to unseal it. He said it. The former president said, unseal it. Unseal it. So they're not trying to hide from that, which is curious, right? Like, okay, so that's what we want to know. What's in this document? What would have led to yet another search? What would have led to that? The contents of the boxes recovered from the house. Of course, that's going to determine the course of the investigation. And what's your perception and what's my perception? I can tell you people are not thrilled about the Justice Department, because all you have to do is look at any of the polls in any direction and you will see that there is more distrust that is out there as far as that's concerned, as far as do you trust the Department of Justice? And the answer is that number is sinking like a stone in the bottom of Lake Michigan, and it's glop, 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 going to get there fast. And of course, so much of this is related to this latest thing with Trump. I mean, that's really what the fallout of all this is. That's the reason why. Seeing what happened there and then seeing the reaction to the president and people close to the president, the former president, as to why was that necessary? Why was that necessary? So like I said, the questions abound and show us that not everybody's feeling super, super good about where we're headed. Like this Rasmussen poll shows the majority of voters think the Department of Justice is politicized, is compromised in that way. They asked voters clearly, do they agree or disagree with the statement the Department of Justice has reached an intolerable state of politicization? 41% strongly agree, 16 somewhat agree, 11 disagree somewhat, 24 strongly disagree, 8% are not sure. They also asked voters across the country about the Department of Justice's investigation into former President Donald Trump over his alleged mishandling of government documents. 44% said they strongly approve of the investigation, 10 somewhat approve of it. There you go. Meanwhile, speaking of numbers, the president's approval rating has come alive a little bit. 44%. It's kind of been a summer turnaround as he's getting ready to hit the campaign trail. Because remember, he's got a war chest and he's got the office of president right now at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So the idea is to keep momentum, lower gas prices, all of that. Slow down inflation. And then try to see what will happen with the numbers. It's more than interesting times that we live in right now. I can't tell you, when I get up and I start having conversations with people about Washington, D.C., just how infuriating so much of it is that comes out of there. Coming up, a little wet in Mississippi, that's for sure. And there's still a lot of people that don't understand what's going on with student loans. We'll explain it, plus a mic drop moment.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
To this story. You may have been there, been in this situation yourself. A New York woman was so surprised she had to fight off an aggressive small animal. It happened right in her front yard on July 25th. It ended up that she suffered 16 wounds from the incident. The small animal, not the neighbor's dog. A fox. If you have not seen this video, do yourself a favor. Go to whatever search engine that you use after the show, of course, and check it out. So Sherry Russo, just minding her biz, trying to chillax, a retired nurse, 61, was going through her front yard. And she thought she was going to be eaten alive. All of a sudden, this fox comes out of nowhere and starts attacking her. Nipped on the outside of the leg. She thought it was a dog. She lifted her leg, was getting ready to say, "What are you doing?" Shoo the dog away. She looked down, and it was a gray fox. And he was relentless. He just coming back and back and back and back and back for more. And she even described it, saying she started to lose a little confidence in her ability to ward him off, and she was doing everything that she could. It was a rabid fox. And she said, this was broad daylight, and you can see it when you go and look this up. And she said she was too frightened to leave her house for a week and after that happened. She realized something bad was going to happen after the fox kept coming back. You know, when you try to shake him off, he's not running away. Shake him off again, not running away. I agree with her. And the video shows that she threw the fox on the ground several times, but it kept coming back. And then when she reached down to grab him off the leg and yank him away, he took a hold of her between her thumb and forefinger and chomped down. Oh, my gosh. So lucky a neighbor came out of nowhere, seemingly, jumps in. You can see him on the video. Grabs a stick, hits the rabid fox with it. That's when the fox finally stopped the attack. Wow. I think that is so scary. And she tested positive for rabies, so she has to have the super expensive treatments to treat the rabies. Rabies vaccine, antibiotics. I hate to say it, I think I'm pretty brave, but if that happened to me, I would be like her. I think I'd like want to put on hockey pads to walk to the mailbox. Maybe I would hire someone, you know, go on one of those sites and get somebody to take, go get my, because if your mail's in the front of the house, go get my mail, please. It's scary when you look at it. It is. It's scary when you look at it. Just out of nowhere. I mean, she's in a very wooded, lives in a very wooded area. So yeah, there's going to be critters, but holy pajoli, right? We got critters where I live, lots of incredible wildlife. Trust me, I am like a bobblehead doll. I'm looking all, when I walk the dog, I am looking everywhere. Like I have, you know, that expression, eyes in the back of my head. And now this has been planted in my head about these foxes, but hopefully we don't have any rabid foxes, but there have been coyote sightings and all kinds of other things. But I haven't seen anything like this. You have to look at the video, my friends. You do, because you will be very astounded, as I was when I saw what she was doing. You know, how she, it's like she said, she was trying to do what she could to shake it off, and it just was not budging. And then, of course, it turns out to be rabid. All right, in Mississippi, it wasn't about fox attacks. Sadly, water again, a wall of water. Just outside of Brandon, Mississippi, a small city near Jackson, the storms clobbered that place. I mean, just absolutely clobbered it. Evacuations. You know, it's funny, in driving from the great state of Texas to the great state of Florida, that was one of the areas we went through. It was so cute, that whole area. And, of course, I've been to Jackson many times. The Brandon mayor, Butch Lee, said that two train cars holding pressurized carbon dioxide derailed after the storm waters washed out the bed under the rails. They didn't pose any kind of a hazard to the nearby areas, thank goodness, but two train cars flipped, rolled off the tracks, and the wheels were scattered. People had water coming into their homes. It was bad. People had to be evacuated from all kinds of places, including a daycare. 40 people were rescued from the flood at Peachtree Village Assisted Living and Rehab. It's a nursing home in Brandon. You could see the people holding onto ropes. They had to be scared out of their mind. And this is what we live in. Flooding, or are you in a drought? It seems like one minute, boom, you're in a drought, and then phew, something changes. It's the torrential rains, how it comes down in heavy sheets at a quick amount of time. And then it's like the spigot has been turned on. And what do you do? Evacuations, helping people, that's it. There's not a lot else you can do. You're riding it out. So you got to wade through the high water, which is what dozens of nursing home residents did. They held on to a rope that stretched across a parking lot when they were evacuated. And thank goodness for volunteers and firefighters and state troopers who did everything they can to help the people, and they got them all out. Thank goodness. That is the daily salute, really, honestly. Because of so many areas that were at risk for flooding and how quickly it all unfolded. All right, so the White House is still kind of struggling a little bit to answer questions on the cost of the student debt plan, because it's ignited a firestorm across America. It truly is the question of the day. Should this happen? And it is happening. It's an executive order. So if 75% at least of the people who could get the loan reduction, they do the loan cancellation plan, it's going to be about $24 billion a year. Because now the White House is going through the numbers. So for a second straight day, though, you could tell they could not answer. They were painfully answering the questions about Biden's plan, claiming that the president waited for the plan to be fiscally balanced before unveiling it. There was no way to know how much the plan would cost. That's like a red signal. Ding, ding, ding. How much does it cost? We don't know how much it will cost. Is it going to be $50 billion a year? What ballpark are we talking about when it comes to student loan cancellations? And not always just Republicans. Lots of Democrats, lots of people who would be independent or not label themselves are complaining about it because they busted their rear ends for 20, 30 years, some cases, to pay back the loans and don't feel that it's necessary for people to have them absolved. Like, what kind of education are they getting in moving forward with this plan? What did they get, right? And there have been snarky comments about the PPP loan forgiveness. And, you know, this was something that's been brewing for a while. And one of the questions that was asked in a briefing is why the president waited so long to make his decision to cancel the debt. And the answer from the White House press secretary was they wanted to do it. He wanted to do it in a fiscally balanced way. And there was that legal review. We wanted to make sure the legal review was done. So in pressing on there, what ends up happening? Lots of question marks. This could be called, renamed, the question mark show. If this, then that. What happens? If this happens, what happens when that happens? And the answer is people are in an outrage if they had to pay back, especially that's the people that are upset. Those people seeing what's now happened with others. Right? How about this? It's all in the family. Paul Newman's daughters have filed a lawsuit against the Newman's own foundation, alleging that the charity has gone against their late father's wishes by not giving enough funds to charitable organizations of their choosing. The Newman's own food company, pretty huge. If you go to the grocery store, you see, especially the salad dressings all over the place. In 1982, the first product was oil and vinegar salad dressing. How about that? I mean, they make a lot of products now. Lemonade, popcorn, cookies, all of that. The foundation says over $570 million has been donated to thousands of organizations. Ooh, this is going to be a big fight. Meet you on the flip side.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A top Fed Reserve official said he'd toss a coin to decide on a potential interest rate hike next month. Speaking to the Wall Street Journal, Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic says he's unsure how much the central bank would raise rates. Specifically, he was talking about either a half point or three quarters of a point increase. Investigators say the McKinney fire in California was potentially sparked by a 60-foot-tall ponderosa pine leaning on power lines. The largest fire in the state, burning over 60,000 acres and killing four people, is still under investigation. A federal judge is getting ready to decide if the affidavit used to execute the search warrant at former President Trump's home in Florida will be unsealed. This comes after the Justice Department submitted its proposed redactions. USA Radio News. Students, activists, and advocates are gathering in Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. to celebrate President Biden's decision to forgive some federal student loans. The president of the National Education Association, Rebecca Pringle, says the federal student loan forgiveness was desperately needed.
For decades, we have struggled with a student loan crisis that holds back our community, our economy, and crushes the dreams of millions of Americans.
People who make less than $125,000 a year are eligible to receive up to 10 grand in federal student loans forgiven. Tennis star Novak Djokovic says he won't compete in this year's U.S. Open. This comes as Djokovic remains unvaccinated against COVID-19 and can't travel to the United States as a result. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pleased to welcome to the show Sharmella Hanier-Selvam. She's written a book called Life in the Hands of Jesus. And she and I had an interesting off-air conversation. We were talking about what is the big question. That is the big question, is people questioning, wondering, being confused, wondering about death. It is, to me, the ultimate questions that people face and feel the pain of feeling that and searching. And she knows what that search is like and what it's like to find out. So, Sharmella, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
You're a nurse by trade, and you talked about going on this search. What was it like, and what was the motivation for you to write about it, to write the book Life in the Hands of Jesus?
Yeah, growing up in a family that coming from a background that has a very strong faith. I was born and raised in a very strong faith family. And yet in that very strong faith that I was in, knowing that God is there, but yet for me, I was still asking questions about God. God, are you there? God, are you there? What about my life? What about death? I'm seeing people dying. So basically, the question is about God, life, and death. Even though I was born in a very strong faith family, but yet the question was still not answered at a certain age when I was growing, especially as a teenager. So went through a search. A search means trying different religions, thinking that being born and raised in Malaysia, I mean, in Malaysia, we are diverse. We have different religion, like Muslim and Buddhist is the two other main religion. And I'm from the Hindu faith. So thinking that maybe God will be found in a Muslim religion, thinking that God will be found in a Buddhist, in a Buddhist religion. So I learned a little bit about Muslim. I learned a little bit about Buddhist, went to Buddhist temple, sit in Buddhist temple, thinking God is there. And meanwhile, in my own faith, I go to temple every Friday with my family. We pray, we worship together, thinking that God is definitely among us. But the question was still there, saying that, I still have the question, like, are you really there? I want to know you, to know God, to know about life, to know about deep. What is all this? What's the connection about all these things? So that question has been there for a long time, ever since I was a teenager, starting at the age of maybe 14, 15, and then going on, grew up, became a nurse, and then I made a move to America in 2008, thinking that, I'm why I came to America is because just to learn a little bit more about my own journey as a nurse, and then make more friends and look around, travel around, and then I'll move on after 2 years. But yet, the question about God was still there with me. I still getting some books, you know, about my own faith as a Hindu. Bought some books, was reading, learning, because I was getting older. Time is passing by. I mean, the days are passing by so fast, and I'm getting older, but yet I haven't found God yet. I mean, I still felt very insecure, very dull inside of me. Start buying books like self-help books to motivate myself to live because I felt really dull. And did the things that I love to do with the money that I was earning, going out to fancy restaurants, going out traveling, buying things that I want to buy for myself. But yet I felt deep down inside of me was very dissatisfied. Something was really lacking. I was dull. I was really dull inside of me. The only time that I'll be happy is when I get high in a club. When I go with my friends, I love doing bar hopping because I see new people, and I spend almost the whole night in doing bar hopping because it makes me high. That's the best feeling that I'll have, and then the next day the worry about life comes back to me once I'm awake at 2 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon. So that's the new friend that I met at work. She said, do you want to go out this Sunday? Let's go out to a restaurant this Sunday. She's a co-worker, but we became a little bit close and got to know each other a little bit more. We became friends, and she said, okay, let's go out this Sunday. We're going to go out and have dinner together in the restaurant. My husband and I will come and pick me up. So I said, yeah, okay, we'll do that, and we'll go out this Sunday. So she came and picked me up with her husband on Sunday evening, like about 5 or 5:30. Went out, and she said, we're going to stop at this building before we go out to this, before we have dinner together in a restaurant. We'll go to this into this building first. I said, yeah, of course, let's go in. I was thinking it's a bookshop that she wants to go in and have a look on some books or something like that. So I told her, yeah, of course, let's go in. So she stopped there. We went in, and I saw there's usher, people welcoming us. I mean, in a bookshop, they don't really do this. So there are people welcoming us in, giving us flyer, and I knew that very moment, oh, okay, this is a church. Then I asked myself in my heart, I said, why did she brought me here? Because I'm not a Christian in the first place. She knows I'm a Hindu. Why am I here in the first place? Why did she do this? I mean, why does she need to go into this place before we have dinner? Then to just keep my cool and everything, I just kept quiet because I just want to give her the respect as a person and being polite, not to show off my tantrum. And also I was together with her. I did not drive myself. I was together with, she drove me. I mean, my transport, you know, transportation dependent on this friend. So I made it safe for myself. I said, okay, I'll just keep quiet and walk into this place with her. She brought me right to the front in the church, and I was even so much more frustrated with her. I was getting angrier. I was getting much more, losing my patience, but I was still able to control that. And I sat, kept quiet. I really don't know what was happening. Worship was going on. I said, I just want to get all of this over, and this will be the last time going out with her. I will never go out with her anymore. We'll just be co-workers. That's what I decided at that time. I said, this is too much for me. So I sat there after the worship was over, sat down in that chair. One of the senior pastor went up to preach. So he was preaching from one of the scripture, I don't, at that moment, I really don't know what's going on. Okay. And then past 10 minutes or 11 minutes or 12 minutes like that, he start talking about Jesus. Something was really touching inside, from the inside of me. That I felt like a heat, or like a heat that was going through my body. And then I said, every questions that I have as a teenage girl, growing up very insecure, that question is being answered one after another. And in my heart at that time, I just shout out and say, Jesus, you are God. I wanted to kneel right away. I was just, something was going on, but yet I was still aware of my surrounding. I said, no, I'm not going to kneel. I'm a little bit too shy. I'll sit in my chair. But I shouted out in my heart and say, yes, Jesus, you are God. And shortly after that, the pastor was closing up the sermon. He said, close your eyes and bow your head and we'll say this prayer. And I did exactly what he said, followed the instruction, bow my head, close my eyes, start praying. I accepted Jesus right away into my heart. And my friend next to me nudged me and said, hey, what are you doing? Are you sleeping? I said, no, I'm not sleeping. I'm just doing what the pastor told us to do. So she said, okay, church is over. Come on, let's go. But yet, I don't want to move from my seat. I want to sit there. I just want to be there. I don't want to leave. But yet, she's my, you know, I'm dependent on her for my transport. So I woke up from my seat and I asked her right away, hey, are you coming back to this church next week? She said, yeah, we'll be coming back to this church next week. And I said, can I come with you? And she was very gladly, she said, yes, we'll come and get you. Me and my husband will come and get you. We'll pick you up. We'll go together. We'll come back next week, Sunday. So ever since that, life took a 180 degree turn. Uh-huh. And my new life started in the hands of Jesus. And I've been in the arms of Jesus. He taught me, like from little baby, being born again, been learning and walking with the Lord, reading Bible, going to church, praying, worshiping Him. I've learned a lot. I've learned how to live as a born-again Christian. And this book was birthed at the time where it's the right time, where everything was spilling out of me. I want to write it down about my life with Jesus and how is it to be in the hands of Jesus.
And that's the book, and that's the essence of your book. We don't have a lot of time left, but I want to make sure I get this in. So in 30 seconds, tell us what you hope people take away from getting your book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Life in the Hands of Jesus.
Yeah, the takeaway about the book is about somebody that are walking my shoes, asking question about God, asking question about life and death. I want to let you know, yes, there is a God. He is there, and He is Jesus. And you will be born again in His hands. He will lead you. He will guide you. You can be dependent on Him. And you will learn about life, and your life will be transformed. And there's life after death. You'll be with Him.
Life after death. You brought it full circle. Sharmella, thank you so much. As I said, you can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Ross Haynes joins us. The name of the book, Dragon Eye Chronicles Book 2. So we're going to go into this whole Dragon Eye Chronicles and what started it and how did he come up with it. And I'll tell you what, this is the type of book that I really like because it expands your imagination. It really pops you into fantasy. Ross, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's an enjoyable day today.
What? It is an enjoyable day. So what started you, first of all, down this path of writing?
Well, my first love is poetry, and I had a little daughter, and I used to do bedtime stories for her, like regular bedtime stories. And she wanted one with her name in it, so I had to make one up, and I called it the Dragon Eye Chronicles. And I gave her little stories which had lessons inside it, you know, about telling the truth, and about knowing what's the right and wrong, and building up stories that way. She insisted me to write it down, and I wrote about 50 chapters, little short stories. And then, of course, she grew out of it, and I put it away. And one day I had a party at my house, and a man picked it up, found it on a fluttering dust, and he read it while everybody else was having a party. But then he came up and insisted I finish the story, that it was worth a good story. So I got a computer and I started writing the story. But I kept on going and going, and at the end I had over 1,800 pages.
Wow. Wow. So what do you do with 1,800 pages?
Yeah, that would be one big book. Anyway, so I divided it into four, and I had my sister, Janice Clermont-Hain, help me proofread it, you know, correct grammar, punctuation. Book one was my first, which was a little, it was too big. I thought I cut 50 pages, but it, when I put it into a book form, it went up to 700. So then I went to book two. Now, book two, I listened to my sister more often, and I had a better structure. And that's what I've been getting good reviews on. Book two, The Time Quake, it builds up a battle and showing a different way how to save people from another planet. And I have book three written, and now I'm rewriting book one to make it a flowing story from book one to the other.
So tell us let me stop you there. Tell us about the story, because people are listening and they want to know, okay, he had 1,800 pages, boom, he puts it into four separate books. Pull us in. Tell us about the story, because when you and I talked off the air, you talked about cyborgs and clones and reducing the human touch and all of that and all these challenges. So tell us about what it's all about.
Well, what happens is that the world was destroyed by wars, and everybody lived underground, and anybody that walked on the planet Earth would die from radiation poisoning. So they developed machinery, which is a cyborg. A person would wear a very, like, a thin suit, and then he would go into a mechanical machine, and he would run it. And he started rebuilding Earth by cleaning up all the pollution, all the radiation. And then from there, they kept on going. They found how to clone people. And they were cloning. And then they planned to go out in space for more material. Because the more materials you get, that rare Earth material, they could find it on moons that float around Jupiter and Saturn. But then at the end, they start terraforming, and they built worlds all around the large four planets of Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus. But there also, the corporations were still hungry and greedy, and they wanted to travel outside to other spaces. So this is how the story starts. They build a Stargate to go through at a high speed. But what happened is that the greed of the corporations wanted to be the only one. So they tried to destroy two of the ships, but they were too close to the start date, and it kind of wiped out everything, destroying a big energy wave. But the ship that went through it traveled so fast that it went backwards in time. And as they got out of the energy, they found themselves in a new system. And in there, there was aliens that could control the human, and they started experimenting. And that's how the story all starts, the interaction and different planets that people can change physically because of the different pressures and food resources that are available. So I go in through a whole structure of cyborgs, clones, and regular humans. And then we have the interactions with aliens that are trying to control all the human race into a slave race. Basically, that's how it is and how it develops and changes all the way from one end of the book to the other. And then they finally realize they were all one race. They were all one people.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. You know, you talk about Nightshade. The only way is through the vortex of time. Like, I love the whole thing of bending time, and that's what you just talked about there, backwards in time, to correct the destruction of humanity. And the whole idea is, one of your main characters, the idea is, I'm going to do it at any cost. And it's got all this adventure in it. What a vivid imagination. Did you ever think when you were a kid, because I know that you grew up with a couple of sisters and a couple of brothers, and you were the youngest, and you told me when we had our conversation you were such a bookworm, and then you talked about there when we first started talking that, you know, you created this story for your daughter. So you really learned about the power of stories and books when you were a kid, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was always into adventure books like Treasure Island or the best horror movies I read The Hobbit and the older version, not the ones that are now. But anyways, but the whole thing is that the adventures are there for people that want to escape. They want to feel. They want to feel the emotions of trust, betrayal, murder, and the excitement of getting away, excitement of catching people. And this is all what I tried to write into the storyline. And it's quite unique because it also has a figure that goes back. His name is Krell, which is the father of all the Nightshades. Okay? And uh-huh. he's more of an immortal being. And he always wanted to keep his children close. But then he has one problem that he always has. He has a very bad temper. And he sometimes pushes them away, further away, and they are reborn in other forms.
Wow. Well, we don't want to give everything away, but and you've really said it in this conversation, but what do you hope people take away from reading your series, reading the whole Dragon Eye Chronicles, which is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, by the way?
It's to show them that we struggle all the time as a human being. We struggle to make ends meet every day. We struggle to stay normal, like not to be violent, keep our faith with our with all the religious faith, because they're all religious faith, all say one God. It doesn't matter if it's Catholic or Jewish or Muslim, it's all one faith. And this is what I'm trying to pass on, that no matter what happens around you, you've got to keep your faith and move forward. Moving forward is the only way to stay ahead of all the evil that's behind you.
I love that. And I love that laugh at the end. Dragon Eye Chronicles, Ross Haynes. I love the story of your imagination as a child, reading to your daughter. See that, people? And then look what it becomes, and all those pages just absolutely pouring out of you. Like I said, you can get the book on Amazon, B&M, wherever great books are sold. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening to Ross and I end this show. Make it count, everybody.
I don't care. So you said.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.